Bruchim Aboyim to the brand new series, which will be devoted to the commentary of the Netziv, to the Chumash Ha'amek Dava. In any case, the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, whose lifetime spanned most of the 19th century, in addition to his monumental commentaries on the Shi'iltis, the Sifri, the Mechilta, his Responsa Shalachuvas Meshiv Dava, there are commentaries on the Vim Ksuvim, he has a major commentary on the Shas, Bulu Mesada, but in addition to all these major commentaries on the rabbinical canon, in addition to this, he wrote a very, very famous commentary on the Chumash, on the Chamishi Chumash Torah, which he entitled Ha'amek Dava. Rabbi Herzog informs me it should be really Ha'amek Daver, but anyway, in the regional edition is Dava. In any case, what we're going to do is we're going to be exploring the Derech, the style, and the Netziv's conception of what Chumash is. And of course that conception of what Chumash is not only the Chumash in and of itself, but also the relationship of the Teresh Shebe'al Peh, the oral law, learning that of Chazal to the Chumash. As with most great thinkers, the Netziv in fact hides as much as he reveals, and the purpose of the series of Shiurim will be to reveal that which, in my opinion, he has heretofore hidden to the majority of people. I'm going to begin, and we're going to devote several Shiurim, I hope we get through it, to a Hagdama, which in Netziv writes to the Ha'amek Dava, which he entitles Kidmas Ha'emek. Kidmas Ha'emek. In addition to Hagdamas, which he writes to each of the Chamisha Chumshe Torah, there's a famous Hagdama to Bereshis, a Psicha, as he calls it, a Psicha to Bereshis, there are Psicha to the other Chumshe Torah. Nonetheless, there's a general Hagdama, Kidmas Ha'emek, in which the Netziv, in fact, is going to state and present what one would call his how he's going to proceed to write a Perush, a commentary on the Chumash. And in my opinion, understanding this Hagdama, understanding this introduction, is fundamental to understanding the Netziv's, number one, Netziv's whole conception of what the text of the Chumash is, and number two, how he's going to carry this out in his Perush afterwards. Okay, now the Hagdama is divided into several sections. There's a total of 10-11 sections in the Hagdama. And we're going to actually try to understand, we're not going to look at all of them, but we're going to understand as much as possible several of them in order to garner an understanding, once again, of the Tziv's concept of the text of the Chumash. Okay. The Tziv, the Hagdama is entitled Kidmas Ha'emek, and the title continues to read Mibal HaMachabe Ha'amek Dava, from the author of Ha'amek Dava, Laharos, to show, and I assume that Netziv wrote this because it's the language is too loaded to have been written by none other than Netziv. Laharos, to demonstrate, ki mikoy kodesh yesh behem toich ubar. Mikoy kodesh have toich ubar. Now toich ubar are actually terms which indicate inside and outside. One might think that in fact Teich and Bar just mean different levels of meaning, but the Nesiv actually definitely is using the Aramaic expression Teichubal, which appears several times in Shas, the Talmud Chacham. Chazal speak about the Chof Ches and Brochus and Beis and Yuma has a both a Teichai and a Baroi, an inside and an outside. So the Nesiv says Laharois, I'm going to come to demonstrate Ki Mikloi Kodesh, that scripture Yesh Bethem have Teichu Ba, an inside and an outside, an exterior and an interior, Umuvanim Lahoiga Behem Lefi Koich Oysa Agevel, and these are understood to one who studies them, who contemplates them, who studies them, in accordance with the apprehension of the person who's studying them. In other words, basically, this inside and outside will be contingent upon the ability of the commentator, the ability of the one who studies scripture. Okay, now that doesn't really tell us much, but actually, as we go on, we're going to actually explain a little bit more what is actually meant by this title. Now, Aleph, this is the first section of the Kidbas HaEmek. So, the Netziv begins by saying, Ba'eis osa kodesh bochu me'viv v'vois kodesh uv'yodei eish dasli Yisrael. Now, the Netziv is actually paraphrasing here a pasuk in the Chumash. It's a pasuk at the very end of the Chumash, and says, Ha'blocha, where it says, Ha'yfiyah mi'ha'poran v'osa me'viv'vois kodesh mi'lo eish das lomoy. Now, it's very interesting that the Netziv, the first sentence of the Tziv, actually quotes this pasuk, because this is actually the pasuk which is quoted at the very beginning of another famous introduction of the Tziv, and that is to his extensive commentary, his classic, maybe his Magnus Opum, his commentary to the Shi'iltis, which actually he calls Ha'amek Sha'ala. And there, the Tziv, based upon this pasuk, understands that the Torah, in a certain sense, I guess I'm going to have to use this term, evolves, right, in accordance with a dialectic between what he terms Eish and Das. Das, according to Netziv, represents the aspect of Torah which stems from Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, perhaps Minhag, tradition, and Eish, Netziv refers to the aspect of Torah which stems from Pilpul, from analytic thinking, from analysis, etc. So the Netziv, in his lengthy introduction to the Ha'amek Sha'ala, in fact actually goes through literally an entire history of the Teresh Bial Peh, including Ga'in Divin Rishonim, and there he actually speaks about this interplay and dialectic which shape the progression of Torah throughout the generations, the dialectic involving the two variables of what one would call Eish and Das. Evidently, it's clear that the Tziv understands that there, in addition to the comparison, the parallelism in names, Ha'amek Dova and Ha'amek Sha'ala, to this, the Tziv obviously is trying to explain to us, at least those who understand very well, that there are going to be important parallels between this Hakdama and the Hakdama to Ha'amek Sha'ala, which means that Ha'amek Sha'ala is going to speak about notions of progress and evolution. Certainly, the Nesiv is going to speak about this in this Hakdama to which he is, in Yetz Hashem, as we'll see. So says the Nesiv, Higdol Koya Kol Echad Me'o'im Dil Fnei Ahav. Right? The Netziv, so Kodesh Baruch Hu set boundaries, or actually set boundaries to the powers, the intellectual powers of those who stood in front of Har Sinai. Gambe midosim sofi vaha. In other words, says the Netziv that in fact, actually, just as Klal Yisrael, as they stood in front of Har Sinai, were bounded in the sense that they were not allowed to get too close to Har Sinai. But the Tziv understands that actually the Jewish people themselves, right, actually were bounded among themselves, meaning that they were bounded. There was a hierarchy. In other words, there were front row seats and there were back seats, right? Gamba Minasan Safahak, the Tziv Pashis, Yisrael, Baltas, Am Safim Lemor. So, in other words, the Tziv is Badaik from the Pashik says that the process of drawing boundaries refer to the nation. Okay, so in other words, what does this mean? This means that not everybody stood at the same place, right? In relationship to Har Sinai. And the purpose of this, as the Nesiv says, is in other words, not every person was able to perceive the same revelation. The Shefa Kedusha was different for different people in accordance with the where they stood around Har Sinai. There were, I guess, concentric circles around Har Sinai. And depending upon what he stood in the inner circle and outer circle, that determined the Shefa Kedusha, the divine revelation that you apprehended. Okay? And that's what it says. Lo nishtava shefa nevuah l'chol ha'omdim. Not every person had the same prophetic apprehension. Kefi amidosim kach ha'isas ha'gosim kach ha'isas ha'vanosim b'dvar Hashem. Okay? Now, so in other words, the Siv establishes that, which means which a person can very, very easily interpret as meaning, simply, is that everybody understands, you know, the Chumash differently, which you'll say to me, well, what's novel in this? What's the big Chiddush? I mean, we all know that everybody understands the Chumash differently. That's what the Siv speaks about in section 1, in Aleph. In Chelek Beis, right, the Siv goes on and shows, once again, the Bekiyas in Teshuvah Mishpat is, of course, phenomenal, right? One could say perhaps the Siv was the last person to have known Kalatera Kula in its very true sense, to have understood Kalatera too in its very very true sense. But the Siv also speaks about the need that a person has to reflect upon the Chumash. In other words, not enough just to read the Chumash, but a person has to be mizbeinet. In other words, a person has to read it and reflect and study it to the best of his ability. That's what the Siv establishes in Beis. In other words, not like, even though, I mean, we know that, you know, Chumash is learned by everybody, even by Tinukesh Beis Rabban. We're going to have lumps in Shulchan Aruch. If a person learns Pesukim, even without understanding them, gets Chav. It's supposed to turn Shvi Alper. But nonetheless, the Siv here advances the idea based upon Chazal, that actually there's a mitzvah of a person to try to understand the Chumash to the best of his ability. And that's what the Siv says towards the end of Beis. As Horazu, so says it even refers to the Torah is coming to tell us, Al Haven Bamikra called Koit Shalolak Shev Chas Shem Shanafu Bamikra Toiv Ka. In other words, the person shouldn't think that anything in the Torah is extraneous or random, but rather a person to understand every detailed aspect of the Torah, the expression that says called Koit for Koit, which means every part of every word, letter, has to be understood. Okay. This is all very nice, and the person can read the Ziv and say, okay, fine. Right? He's weaving together Chazals and Psukim, but once again, what's novel here? What's the Chiddush here? Right? Although the Chiddush is that Siv is saying that there's actually a mitzvah for the Torah to understand the Chumash deeply, but in addition to that, what's novel? Like I said before, when the Siv speaks about different people standing at different distances from Har Sinai, the Hagbolas Ha'am, which took place at Matan Torah, so one would think that what the Siv is coming is to justify what you would call an individualized personal interpretation of the Chumash. In other words, every person is supposed to interpret the Chumash in accordance with his ability, and every person has a unique connection with understanding the Chumash based upon, you know, his abilities and you know, Siyata Dishmaya. That's how you understand the Siv. However, if you go on and read further in the Kid Masa Emek, which, like most introductions, I expect that most people don't read on in introductions. It's clear from the Rambam that people only begin the first part of the introduction and never end up reading the rest of the introduction. They say, oh, you're not telling me anything new, so therefore why should I continue? But the fact is that the Nesiv later on, and we're going to make this very, very clear in later Shu'urim, compares the commentary, the activity of commentary, to the scientific enterprise. In fact, the Siv is going to speak about what he calls the Teva HaTorah, the nature of the Torah, and the Siv is actually going to make very, very several important parallels between scientific research, the scientific enterprise, and commenting on the Torah. And the Siv is going to speak about rules, He speaks about, he's going to speak about Chayk, law, just as in science there's natural law, there's equations. So in the Torah you have the Gimel Midrash, HaTorah Nedreshet Bahem, etc., etc. Clearly, if we're going to compare the study and the understanding of the Torah with the scientific enterprise, we can't speak about individualized and subjective interpretation. Science, unless you're an extreme postmodernist, so the scientific enterprise is nothing, you know, that resembles what you would call an individualized, you know, personal and subjective discovery of, you know, of subjective truth. What I understand that the Nesiv is saying, and this is going, we're going to actually meet on and see how this is going to bear out to the rest of the Dhamma, is that the Nesiv, I think, is coming to hint that, and it's interesting, the Nesiv doesn't speak about different levels of multiple interpretations. The Nesiv speaks about an inside and an outside, which in modern lexicon means there's an esoteric and exoteric aspect of the Chumash. In other words, there's an exoteric aspect of the Chumash which is available, right, to most people, which is apprehended by most people. Most people read the Chumash and, you know, they get what's called the exoteric pshat, right? The exoteric understanding. However, there's also an esoteric aspect of the Chumash. Now, the esoteric aspect of the Chumash, what I'm speaking about, is not speaking about Kabbalah, or as the Tziv actually speaks about later on, this is what's called the Segula to the Torah. But in fact, actually, there's an esoteric aspect to what the Tziv is going to call the Pshat of the Chumash. In other words, the Pshat, the intended meaning of the Chumash, has an esoteric dimension, which is in fact not readily accessible to most people who read the Chumash. Only specific individuals, I guess those who stood, or the Sheresh Shavashin Neshama stood, had box seats at Har Sinai, right? This esoteric shot of the Chumash is accessible only to very, very few people who have the God-giving ability, and of course the Siyata Nishmaya and Shefa Kedusha, to probe it and understand it properly. So in other words, what the Tziv is saying here is that while most people can understand the Chumash, right, in accordance with their own level of understanding, right, nonetheless, there is an esoteric level of pshat which is accessible only to a handful of a very select group of people. That's what the Tziv is saying. Now, what's interesting is that what this, the Tziv of course compares this esotericism of the Chumash to actually a type of esotericism in the physical creation. The Tziv goes on and speaks about that, for example, most people look at the world and they look at, you know, the world, the physical world around them, and most things, you know, for people have certain explanations, but there are certain things which appear in nature that most people feel they can understand. In other words, the nature acts in certain ways which are nistar, which are hidden, right? It's only at a later point that people actually discover that these hidden things can actually be explained scientifically, because people, there's an advance of science and people formulate what's called chukai sateva, laws of nature, which with the progress of history encompass more and more phenomena, right? So just witness scientific advances, right, on all levels. So too, the Nesiv says, is with the teva ha-teva. There's a nature of the Torah, and there are chukas ha-teva. There are laws of the Torah, and the Siv speaks about the Yud Gimel Midas, Shatan Nesiyas Bahem. He first begins with the Midas of Hillel, and goes on to that of Rabbi Yishmael, and then goes on to Rabbi Yisrael Galili. In other words, the Siv understands that actually the fundamental understanding of the Torah Shebechsav is really understanding the rules, the equations, right, in a similar manner in which the fundamental understanding of nature has to do with understanding the equations of science. So what's interesting is that for the Netziv, the primary a priori fundamental truth of the Torah, just as it is for science, are these rules we call hermeneutical rules, right? Which in fact are able to be advanced by Chochmei Yisrael, and in so doing understand more and more aspects of the Torah which heretofore were not understood. Now, what I want to actually, when I'm going to speak on the Hakdama, it's not enough just to interpret the Hakdama. We have to bring examples from the Ha'amah Gava. But actually what I want to do is I want to show that this notion of the a priori, the a prioriness of the rule, right, is actually how the Netziv understands the very nature of creation, and he expresses this in his Perush to the first pasuk of the Chumash. The first pasuk of the Chumash speaks about Bereshit Bo Elokim Eis HaShemayim V'Eis HaOretz, and there the Netziv understands, first of all, the Netziv understands that in fact the uses of the word Elokim, right, which actually denotes, as Rashi and all the first plane denotes din, says the Netziv, din doesn't necessarily mean that it's always translated strict justice, but actually the Netziv says din means law, scientific law, chok, chukas shemayim va'aretz. In other words, and in fact, actually, this is a beautiful interpretation of the famous Chazal, once again, which is brought by Rashi, because Baruch Hu thought to create the world with din, which means that the fundamental a priori creation rests upon what's called scientific law. And Shemayim Va'aretz, the Netziv understands, are not the objects, heavens and earth, but Shemayim Va'aretz actually mean a mashpia and a makabel, which in the context of the Netziv is speaking about a cause and effect. So in other words, the Netziv understands that the fundamental truth which the Torah is communicating to me, it speaks about that the fundamental truth of creation is natural law, scientific law. So just as with natural creation it's scientific law, so too as it is with metaphysical creation. The Torah Deisha is the fundamental truth of Deisha is metaphysical divine laws, which according to the Sif can be discovered by man through his assiduous study of the Torah. So the fact is that the main, what I think that the main thrust of this Hakdama is the, what I would call the secret agenda of the Netziv, is to advance the idea that there's an esoteric fundamental dimension to the Torah Shebichtav, which is accessible to those few and select who apply themselves assiduously to its study, right? And this fundamental esoteric dimension is the discovery, the intellectual discovery of the fundamental laws, the teva of the Torah, which underline the Torah Shebichtav as they do underline the physical creation. Now, why are we speaking about something which is esoteric? Why, in other words, why make this esoteric? So, I want to make the following claim. I think this is going to bear out in the next section or two of the Netziv. Most people understand that the Torah is something fixed in and of itself. A man comes to interpret the Torah. In other words, if I asked you, what is the Torah? The Torah Shebichtav. You'll say the Torah Shebichtav is a text. A man comes to understand the meaning of the text. The meaning is there within the text. And in fact, actually, in other words, it's right there in the text. And the meaning is there to be plucked out by the person who understands the Lashon, the language of the Torah, the Tiktuk, perhaps Chazal, etc., etc. I think what the Netziv here is coming to advance is that, in fact, there is no fixed text of the Torah. There's merely interpretation. In other words, if in fact the fundamental yesod of the Torah is the discovery of those laws which underline the Torah. So what we're saying is that, in fact, even more fundamental than the actual text in the Torah is, in fact, actually the methodology of interpretation, right? Which means, and as the Tzitzis is going to explain later on, this is because the Torah is constantly evolving, that in fact man's understanding of the Torah is constantly evolving, and Tim is going to speak about this, by the way, in Maaseh Bereishis too, get ready for that. But in other words, the point of the Tzif is that the notion of a fixed text understanding, let's put it, a fixed understanding of the Torah is a misnomer, but it's a good misnomer which is good for most people whose understandings of things are rather limited. For the person who truly understands what the Torah is, there is no fixed understanding of the Torah. Just as there's no fixed understanding of science. Right, the Tzif advances a rather Hermann Cohenian version of neo-Kantianism, in which the Kantian transcendental is merely a methodology which refers to the infinite progress and the infinite progress and of the scientific enterprise. So too, there's a process of interpretation, a process of discovery of deeper and deeper laws, which explain more and more. And this process, I won't say it's infinite, but nonetheless, it's a process which continues, and continues persistently. And because of this, there is no fixed interpretation or understanding of the Torah. The Torah's understanding is always in flux, which means that what the Tzif is saying is that really there is only what we would call in layman's language, Torah Shebe'al Peh. The Torah Shebe'al Peh is ultimately the vehicle for the activity of what Torah Shebe'al Peh is. This is something which most people could not even conceive or understand, and certainly that's not what they have in mind when they learn the Chumash. And if you tell them something, they would think you're absolutely crazy. Just like the Rambam speaks about the people up in Tzrayim, if you would explain monotheism to them. But nonetheless, this is the Tziv's hidden agenda. He wants to show that this Toich of the Torah is really likened to a intellectual enterprise which persistently and in a perpetual way seeks out greater and more encompassing laws which underline the interpretive and hermeneutical essence of the Torah itself. Yeah.
It may be a linguistic question and it may be to be answered later, but it seems to me there's a difference between biological evolution and...
We're not speaking about
that. No, and the word evolution in terms of biological evolution, and the word evolution in terms of scientific discovery.
No. We're going to discuss this later on. The Tziv is actually, we're going to speak about this not in this lecture, but I think in another 2-3 lectures. And the Tziv is going to actually speak about how Kosh Bohu created the world as we parallels with which Kosh Bohu created the world in which man apprehends God. We're going to speak about that.
My question is, in evolutionary biology, every later development is necessarily based on what came before. In scientific development, it's transformed. Things are rejected and things are incorporated. There's no modern science is not built on Aristotle.
Right.
Is there a sense in the Tziv that we're using more and modern, we're necessarily based? Is my current interpretation necessarily based on Achronim Rishonim?
We're going to speak. That's going to be the next year. But let me make it clear. The Tziv understands that actually the basis, the direction, and the structure of this hermeneutical process is to be guided by Chazal. In other words, and we'll explain about this in B'yat Hashem next year, the Zitzenleben of the Chumash is none other than that of Chazal. And Tziv states this very, very explicitly in what we're going to speak about in the notes of Shiva. But in other words, be that as it may, yeah.
No, so he's not necessarily speaking about modern interpretations.
No, Chas V'Shalom. No, Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom, the Tziv. I can't say Chas V'Shalom enough. Actually, as we're going to see the next Shiel, Mitzvah Hashem, the Tziv is actually going to actually establish the primacy and a priority of Chazal too. In fact, according to the Tziv, the litmus test of truth in any interpretation is if a person is mechaven to either a halacha or musaf chazal. But the relationship of chazal to the chumash is going to actually be in quite novel. But in so doing, we're going to actually explain this. We're going, this, the tzib is actually going to present to us a very deeper understanding of chazal, which will only strengthen, you know, mitzvah Hashem, our amunah of faith in the, in chazal themselves. But that mitzvah Hashem will be for the next year. In any case, this is the hidden agenda of the tzib. And mitzvah Hashem, I think we will, we'll stop over here. This is food for thought. The Nitziv understanding the Chumash, the text of the Chumash as a process, very much in the way Gelman said that the Feynman integral might be more fundamental than the quantum mechanics itself. But we'll leave that for the physics buffs. In any case, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim, Irak Kodesh, be well.